Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. This day last week, Thursday the 12th, there was a horrific attack on a totally innocent woman in our home in Finglas in Dublin. She's on one line at the minute. I'll talk to Trish in a sec. But first of all, I want to talk to a very dear friend of Trish. That's Anne. Not our real names, by the way, for obvious reasons, who's been helping Trish, as indeed have our brilliant neighbours in Finglas. Anne, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
It was a terrible ordeal for your friend.
Oh, it was terrible. It was. It really was. She's not herself since it's happening.
And in many,
as it is, she's fairly quiet, you know, like, yeah. And everyone knows that, everybody knows it around.
And how many of them broke into the house?
She reckons probably three or four. She was a bit confused because when she came around, she remembers them talking to her and demanding stuff from wherever. She said she thought it was a dream when they were ordinary. They did hold a gun to her head. Now, the imprint of the gun was left on the side of her head.
My God.
They hit her on the top of the head. She had to get staples on her head.
My God.
Now, when it all, she doesn't even remember how long this was going on. They ransacked the home. The kids off the road would go into her and she'd sit for hours talking to them. Like, that was her life, all the kids on the road. Now, it was only the kids then came out and they were ringing us and saying, oh, you will have to do something. She can't live in that house. So we went over, myself and some of the neighbours went into her. Now, when we seen it, we really got an awful fright. So we sort of just walked back out.
And what was it like? They'd wrecked the house, wasn't
they? They ransacked it. Do you know what? I never seen that like it in my life. It was like something off a movie. When we went in, there was blood everywhere.
Oh,
our sofas were ripped. The kitchen was wrecked. Everything was pulled out. There was chairs were broken. There was our beds were ripped. They ransacked. They were looking. I don't know whatever they were looking for, but they ripped. They put holes in our wall up in the youngster's bedroom. There was a little hole in the wall, but they put holes in the wall. And anyways.
Okay.
And Trish, there was no need for it.
Oh my God. And the Gardaí, as the Gardaí are saying, is a case of
mistaken
identity. Yeah. Trish is there beside you. I know she's still distressed. Trish, Joe here, how are you today?
I'm okay. I'm just a bit panicked.
Yeah, it's a week now since it happened. What were you doing? You were sitting watching telly on Thursday evening.
Yeah, I was sitting watching the telly. I was on my own. And thank God my kids weren't with me because they're usually always there.
Okay.
And if somebody knocked at the door, I can't remember what time it was, but from the police, what they told me was about 11:30.
Okay.
Between 11:30 and about 10 to 12.
Okay.
And when somebody rings me bell, I just open the window at night, you know,
because
won't open the hall door because I'm nervous as it is anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a nervous person. And my kids would just obviously walk in, so I knew it wasn't them. So when I opened the window, so it was a figure like leaning over my gas box, like hunched down.
Okay.
And me thinking it was me door, or a jacket up, like, you know.
Yeah, messing.
I was calling her, and then I heard a male voice saying something, I don't know what they said. And I closed the window thinking it was me son then, pulling a prank on me with his friends after coming back from the gym. But when I closed the window, I went to open the hall door and I thought it was them coming in again, and when the two fellas came in, and one of them punched me to the floor.
Oh,
and I fell, like, just beside the fireplace. And then they just repeatedly hit me on the head with a gun, pointed the gun to my head, kept asking me, where's the money? Mm. I kept shouting my name, saying, I think you have the wrong house. Like, you must have the wrong house. I've no money here. And they kept saying, look, yeah, we're going to murder you, like, if you don't give us the money, like. And I was like, there's money in my purse. I said, take the money in my purse. And I think I had €100 in my purse, and there was €70 on the mantelpiece belonging to me daughter.
Yeah.
So they took the money from my purse. They threw my purse at me and asked me to open and find the money.
Yeah.
And I opened it and gave it to them, and they took that, and I could see out of my eye, like, that they were ripping me sofas. One of them, the woman standing over me all the time, like, hovering over me, and he was there. He was, like, just saying horrible, calling me horrible names, and, you know, kicking me on the back and kicking me on the legs. And he kept saying to me, if you're on your own here, nobody knows you're here, so don't swim and shut your mouth, and putting his hand over my mouth with gloves on and covering me and stopping me breathing. And then I just kept looking at a candle that had lighting on the mantelpiece for me auntie who passed away, and I kept just praying that if anybody was to find me, I hope my family wouldn't find me, you know.
So at this stage, Trish, how many men are in the house?
I reckon about three, because there was one over me. I think there was one in the kitchen, and I'm nearly sure there was like two knives upstairs.
And were their faces covered? I presume they were.
Yeah, they had like scarves over their faces with black hoods on them, the track tops or whatever.
And what age? Were they big lads or small lads?
I was lying down, so they looked to me, and I couldn't really, I couldn't look up. Every time I looked up, my face was pushed back into the blood, and they were throwing clothes over my head, like.
Did you know at that stage that they were going through the whole house, wrecking it?
I could hear noises, like I was aware of like noise everywhere, and like, you know, my little dog was in the house as well, and she was running upstairs, so I knew she was chasing them everywhere, you know. And I could hear them shouting at the dog, like, and saying they want to kill the dog as well, like, you know.
Of course she hasn't. What's your dog called?
Sasha.
Fair play, Sasha. So you're still on the floor, and what, they put a gun to your head?
So they put the gun to me, the front of me head and the side of me. I have two marks on my temple where they held the gun to my head, like, twice on two different occasions. And when they hit me on the head with the gun as well, they busted my head open. I have staples in my head.
Savage.
I was in the hospital, obviously, and my bruises all over me, like, all over my back and my arms and my legs and, you know, my stomach.
And did they say anything else?
They were just saying, give us the money. And I was like,
but you're saying, I've no money. What are you on about? I've no money.
Like, that's what I said. I kept shouting out my name. Yeah. And then I was kept saying my number and my house, my address. And I was like, you haven't got the right house. This has to be the wrong house, like, you know, because I don't know nothing on nobody.
Yeah, I know you don't. I know you're very good. All your neighbours contacted us. You are very good, and very good to the neighbours, and their children have been for years. And Trish, how did it end?
All of a sudden, I heard silence, and I heard the door opening, and then I heard silence. And when I heard the silence, I just kind of like started talking to myself, saying, "Gillian, you have to get up off the floor. Trish, you have to get up off the floor." And I got up and talked myself off the floor, and I just said, I got up and reached up to me shelf where me phone was, and I just rang 999.
Yeah.
And the police were out in like 2 minutes, three minutes.
Brilliant. And the police are saying they believe it's a case of my mistaken identity.
That's what they reckon, yeah.
And they threatened you, and they threatened your children, even though they weren't there.
Yeah, they told me that they had me kids in a van. But there's pictures of me son and my daughter on the mantelpiece, so they didn't say me names. The names are on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where I was lying, like, was right at the mantel, like, at the fire, so they would have seen me kids, the pictures of me kids, like, on the mantelpiece.
And do you think they realised after a while? How long were they in the house for, do you reckon, Trish?
I couldn't tell.
A lifetime. But I just wondered, did they realise when they saw the photographs? They said, hang on a minute, lads, they're not there. That's nothing to do with us.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Gardaí came. Then when did you realise how much damage had been done to your house?
When After the ambulance came, after the police came, they told me to sit in my sitting room, and I couldn't move because, and I was just sitting on the chair wiping. I had a packet of baby wipes, and one of the guard was actually patching me up and putting a makeshift thing on my head.
Oh, right there.
And then I was wiping my face with all hard blood. I mean, the hair was dripping blood, all over the floor, my clothes. And I just looked around, the house, and I kept asking, can my mum come in? Because my mum lives nearby.
Okay.
And I said, my mum wasn't allowed in, my kids weren't allowed in, nobody was allowed in. I was sitting in the sitting room on my own,
Because it's a crime scene.
Because a crime scene, yeah.
Yeah, they could have left fingerprints.
An hour and a half on the ambulance to come.
An hour and a half?
Yeah, sitting there for an hour and a half, just having a look around. I didn't go back into the house then. People were telling me what it was like upstairs because I couldn't go back in. And then the neighbours just got together, and I have been in my mum since.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the house.
Oh, you haven't seen, okay. Well, your neighbours are doing great work, I'm told. They really
they
are.
They're brilliant.
But you heard Anne saying she was shocked. She couldn't believe the damage they did. And when the gun was held to your head, are you sure? Could you feel the metal, Trish?
I saw it. I saw the gun. I saw it in his hand.
And what was it? One of those hand pistol see on telly or whatever?
Yeah. And he was pointing it into me for it. And I felt it in the back of my head as well, on my temple. One of my temples, and left marks on my temple, the shape of it.
And did you think he was going to shoot you?
Of course it is, yeah. I'd said to myself, if I die here, please don't let me, mum. When you put the clothes over my head, my son's sleep, I thought, that's it, I'm gone, And I was trying to just be compliant, and just do everything that they told me to do. But they got nothing, I live on disability,
And Trish, when you say you thought that you thought they were going to shoot you, but while you were saying, I hope my mum doesn't find me.
Yeah, because my mum lives so nearby. She would have, if I hadn't come out or anything like that, or she'd have been looking for me the next day or whatever. Yeah, so I thought she was going to come in and find me dead,
And do you remember anything about their accents? Are they Dublin or Dublin?
Oh, Dublin, yeah, Dublin.
And
yeah,
do you remember anything about the smell or anything about them in terms of?
No. Just had me feeling my head real heavy. And the police were asking me, did you pass out? I said, no. I don't know how you didn't.
You're incredible.
I must get me strength from my mother. She's not very strong at the moment.
And how did you tell your mother what happened?
As soon as the police knocked at the door, I said to the police, you have to go and tell me, mum, I don't want her seeing all this outside. Yeah. Please get her and just inform her what's going on. We rang my kids straight away, obviously, to see where they were. My son was coming back from his friends, and my daughter we couldn't get hold of my daughter for a while, but my son knew there was something wrong with me from my voice on the phone because I was shaking, and he was around in about 10 minutes to see 70. And they wouldn't let him, great young fella, great kid. He walks out and he walked hard, and he went up to the back of my mum's shed, and he was just sitting up there, My mum said he was lost. So he couldn't come in to me. Mum, come in to me,
Did you say hard because he wasn't allowed in by the Gardaí at that stage? Because the Gardaí were trying to see what forensics might still be there. You were taken to hospital then. What hospital did you end up in?
The Blanchardstown Hospital.
Oh, Blanchardstown.
Okay. Yeah.
And when you were brought in, did you know that you would need staples in your head, Trish?
Oh, I knew there was something wrong in my head because even though I was numb, I could feel a heaviness in my head. And when the doctor that was looking at me said to me, there's a 2-centimeter gash across your head, and I said, is it deep? And she said, oh yeah, we're going to have to put staples in it. I never had anything like that in my life, staples or anything, stitches, nothing. So she cleaned all the blood up off my hair. It was taking my hair. She took about 20 minutes cleaning that. But she was talking to me all the time and, rubbing my arm and all. And then she washed my hair, cleaned out the wound, and then gave me the staple.
And did they say to you when they were in the house that at least three, did they say to you we're going to kill you?
Yeah, told me I was going to be murdered, yeah. He said, we're going to kill you if we don't find you, if you don't give us the money.
That is unbelievable, Trish.
You're dead, and like, not just holding the gun to my head, like sticking it in the back of my head, yeah. Over, like, because they were standing over me. He kept standing up, the fella, or else he was coming down on a thunk or so. When he was standing over me, he was kind of leaning down on the gun. That's why I think I left the imprint on me temple, like, because I was sideways, I was on my side.
And then they added in the extra horror by saying, we have your son and daughter in a van.
Yeah, oh, that just made me, like, I just went into a fit of wailing, like, you know, crying. Because I was glad, I was thinking, my kids aren't here. I'm so happy, like, that they're not here. But even if this is happening to me, like, you'd never want your kids to go through anything like that, you know?
No, of course.
So, I just froze and done everything they said, you know?
It's horrific, absolutely horrific, absolutely horrific. This day last week, you'll be a long time. Would you? I know you have great neighbours and great family, your son and daughter, and your mother. But as you say, your mother is deeply affected by it as well. The shock
absolutely.
She must be.
Oh, she's in an awful state. Yeah.
You'll need to talk to somebody, Trish. I know your neighbours are great, but a complete random mistaken identity and then to threaten to kill you, put a gun, the metal barrel of a gun to your forehead, your temple and the back of your head. Not just put it, but push it. Telling you they're going to kill you, smacking you on the... It was the gun that they used to hit you over the head.
For God's sake.
Have they...
Horrible. I wouldn't wish anything on anybody.
Have they not got a mother? Would they have been old enough to have children, do you think, these lads?
They were I'm guessing that they were in their early 20s, like, you know.
Well, we know they all have mothers, Trish.
Yeah, well, obviously they weren't brought up properly to do that to a woman. That's like... I'm not able to move my back. I can't even move, like, across my sitting room with it came, like, you know.
Oh, God. Stay there, Trish, for a sec. I want to go back to Anne. And the neighbours have all rallied round, and it's because they want to give back to Trish what Trish has been given to the community for years. You've set up a GoFundMe page. We'll tweet it now in a sec.
One of the girls set up the GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
And myself and neighbours and family and all got together. And we just... You know, we didn't realise that we would get as much help that we are getting.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, you know what, she deserves it, something to make her happy. We're after gutting the whole house. We're looking for people to come in and help us.
Okay.
We're going to try. We're after getting carpet off some and lineup.
Well done.
We're after getting floorboards off a few of the guys. We're going to get their names.
My God.
That's after doing it.
Yeah.
Another company is doing upstairs, doing the floorboards upstairs for her. There's a guy, a local guy, I never met before. He came around.
Mm-hmm.
He came in. He just started painting the walls. We're after getting paint off, you probably know Glenda Harrington. She works for the soup runs.
Okay, yeah.
She's after getting involved.
Well
She's
done,
after bringing
well
a
done.
Lot of stuff down. We're getting a kitchen. I know it's not new, but it's nearly new. Off some guy that does kitchens. We have to get someone to go and collect that today.
Okay.
And
this is from Finglas. This is all in the Finglas area.
Well, this person, I think he may be from Dunboyne.
Oh, great. Okay, but I mean, they have to, for people to help,
they to go to Finglas. Yeah, it's all the people from Finglas getting this body.
So the furniture was ripped to shreds. Their clothes were shredded.
You know what? For very little she had, God love her, she never, anything she ever had, even though if somebody gave her something, she'd sentimental to her. Oh no, I'm not throwing that out, such a bad thing,
yeah,
I need that.
Yeah,
I'm keeping
it.
So she would treasure anything. Like even as growing up and all, the way she was with everybody, all the kids, you know what, all the kids love her. Like the kids are her friends.
Yeah.
She worked in a crèche, I know, many years ago, and with a disability now, she hasn't went back. But this is a little thing, the kids love her. The kids go over, go to shop for her. They get in and say, Gillian, do you want us to do a little bit, some pieces for you? They just said, you know...
So what do we need now, Anne? Do you need what type of furniture do you need?
Do you know what I would love to do for her? We're after getting furniture. We're after getting curtains. People that's going out buying curtain poles. One thing that she really, really is in need of, she has a bat in her bathroom. She cannot get in and out of that bat. She can't have a Like, she can't even have it wash in her own house. And you know what? It would be great if there was someone that around would deal with disability veteran for us. Do you know what? It's just, she's so good to everyone around. If she had €5 in her pocket, she'd say, oh, come here, go over there, give that to the kids, get ice cream. The kids would be standing around looking for ice cream. She'd give it to the kids. She'd say, go on, get an ice cream. You know what I mean? And then she'd sit outside talking to the kids, probably. And then she'd say, you know, I have to go back in, my back is killing me. You know what I mean? And it's just, she's just so nice. We cannot believe that happened to her.
That's just,
like, really, it's beyond, we cannot believe that happened to her.
It's beyond her. Trish, you know what I mean? When Trish, when are you thinking of going back to your house?
Well, do you know what? The community is doing this now. We won't let her into the house until this is done.
Okay.
Because when she goes in, hopefully when she goes in, it's going to be a whole new house for her.
Right, okay.
We're after getting our, like as I said, we've got our new sofa. We're after getting our new beds. We have to try to get our wardrobes now. We haven't been sorted with wardrobes yet.
Okay, will you go on?
Just for people, everything was broke off the wardrobes, pulled out, flung all over the place. So that's one thing. Like chest of drawers and that. You know what I mean? Took somewhere to put things like that. We sort of haven't got yet.
Now the GoFundMe. You just Google GoFundMe support for a local mother. And you can make a donation within seconds on that. And that's we verified it. It's been well run. And also that the Gardaí have said a mistaken identity, and they are taking it, as Trish said, very, very seriously. They threatened to kill the woman.
I never seen anything like it in my life. You know, really. Okay. Like, to think it's ever happening on your doorstep, it's just madness.
And has anything like that ever happened around Anne before?
No, never. You know what I mean? Even like around on Air Road, like I've never heard of a house getting broke into on the road.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like really. Yeah. And everybody knows everybody. And everyone, I swear to God, I've never seen that. Like everyone is just doing little things. Even people are bringing down like duvet covers, the whole lot. We threw everything out. Asked her, look, can we... And she's whatever you
well,
have
it sounds
to do.
Like
at
this stage.
Anymore.
It sounds like at this stage, nothing offered will be refused because it did so much damage.
Yeah. Now, even now, the kids, God loves them, all the kids on the road.
Yeah.
Because she does be sitting in the garden with them.
Yeah.
And
great,
she does always say to them, you know, oh, if I had my back garden, you know, I could do this, which is we'd have bouncing castles. But all the kids is at the getting out. I mean, as young as 9 years of age, they got out and they're at the thing was like sky high because she's disability. She's not able to do that.
Yeah,
the kids are after getting out and gutting that back garden.
Well done.
Like
well
really done. Now, I know we need someone to do sort out a few trees and that, but if we can get, it's hopefully we do get someone in that will come down and give us a hand.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know, we wouldn't know what to do. But like the kids is after leveling all that, all the stingers, everything.
Brilliant.
You couldn't even walk out our back garden. I know you can walk out the back garden.
Yeah, well done.
It's amazing.
Well done, kids,
it really is amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah,
Trish, you know when you were looking at the candle on the mantelpiece that you'd lit? Do you light that every night?
Every night for my dad and for me. My dad lost two of his siblings in the past 4 months, but I light it for everybody, and I've often put posts up on Facebook, this candle is lighting for anybody if we want it, any of my friends.
And when you were looking at the candle, were you praying to your aunt to help you?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely. I was praying just to look after my kids if anything happens to me. To first and foremost, that they didn't find me.
Yeah.
None of them would find me, like, and then to look after them if anything happened to me. And thanking them as well for not, like, I'm really sure I put it down to, like, some kind of heavenly help that my kids weren't there because they're always there. They never leave me, especially my daughter. Like, my son comes and goes to work, and my daughter's always in the house at night with me.
But you've shown great strength, Trish. You really have, on the night. I don't know how you did it. It's fantastic.
I'm absolutely flabbergasted by all the people that have come out to help me. I really am. I can't thank them enough. I don't know how to thank them. I'll never be able to thank them.
Yeah, well, try and draw strength from that. And you thought at one stage you were going to kill little Sasha, your dog. That's Sasha barking there.
Yeah, that's all. That's the life.
Will you tell Sasha she's on the radio? No, hold on. Hold Sasha close to you. Do you
hear
me?
That's my baby.
She won't let me go.
I know she won't. Because she knows how strong you are.
Yeah.
Okay, does she sleep in the bed with you, by the way?
No, she has been in the past because I'm in my ma's, on the couch and in the bed, the bed in my ma's room. And she was just jumping up. She wasn't staying on the floor.
What type of dog is Sasha?
She's a toad, a kind of a cross between a Chihuahua and a Shih Tzu and a Yorkshire Terrier. She's a little blonde, blondie dog.
Blonde bombshell. Trish, stay there for a sec. You gather yourself and Anna's still with us.
Okay.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
It was this day last week, last Thursday night. Trish, we're obviously not using her actual name at this stage for obvious reasons. Sitting at home, minding her own business, watching telly. Candlelight on the mantelpiece, Sasha, her dog, up on her lap beside her, and she heard the disturbance. She thought it was our children, as we do with that hour, our children messing or whatever, our hijinks. And basically, three men burst into her house and savagely assaulted her and destroyed the house. Destroyed the house, said they were looking for money, ransacked the house. But ransacked doesn't, because ransacked normally means you can reinstate, but they actually broke furniture, ripped up couches, pulled out wrecked wardrobes. And her neighbours have got together. Anne is the spokesperson at the minute. They've set up a GoFundMe page. It's called GoFundMe Support for a Local Mother. And already, let me see. Gary Grogan. Gary, good afternoon.
How you doing?
You work for your what company?
Capital Heating and Plumbing Supplies.
Okay, and where are you based, Gary?
We're based in Talbot. I'm from Fingers myself.
Okay. Would you be willing to have a look at the bathroom for us?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to see. I think you have a lad to put it in, so I'll supply the shower tray and shower doors, take the bath out for you.
Okay, well done. So you're gonna get it. Okay, so well done, Gary. You go and have a chat with Trish and our neighbours.
Yeah, well, I think
Cathy Keenan is coordinating everything. Well done. Is that your own company, Gary?
I work with a lad, there's two lads I work with, so.
Great. Capitalheating.ie based in Tala.
Capital Heating and Plumbing Supplies in the Green Hills Road, in Tala,
And I see there as well, Trish, we'll organise these and put them together for you. I see another company want to do. Have you blinds in the house, Trish?
No.
Well, they're saying if you want blinds, they'll supply you with blinds.
Thanks very much.
For the front of the house.
Oh, thanks so much.
Okay, that's Ruth. Ruth Brady. What's the name of your company, Ruth? Hello, Ruth.
And we're based in Ballycoolan.
Say that again.
It's Bay Blinds.
Bay Blinds, okay.
We're in Ballycoolan and we'd be delighted to
help
our new blinds.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And there's other offers coming in, Trish. Don't be worried. And with your this is all led by your neighbours because you're so good to them, and that's what people. So Bay Blinds and Ballycoolan in Dublin. Thanks indeed, Ruth Brady and Capital. They're just the two examples so far. Capitalheating.ie, and we'll supply all that details with Anne and Trish's permission. And when you're off air, okay, Ruth and Gary. Thanks indeed, Anne. Thanks indeed, Trish. You mind yourself. Try and get over this. You're now going to rely on the strength of all your family and your neighbours and your mother, and that will pull you through.
Thank you very much, Joe.
It will pull you through because you're a great, great woman and people are going to repay that to you in every way they can. Okay?
Leave
those four thugs to the Gardaí. The Gardaí were sorted out because you say they were there in your house within 2 minutes.
They were,
And they've told us they have a major investigation to find out what happened and given the
I just want to say a thank you out to all the kids. If any of them listening, I love them all to bits.
You're great. And will you say thanks to Sasha as well for barking at them? Okay, but above all, you mind yourself, Trish. And if you need to get extra help or you want anyone else mentioned as we go through the next few days and weeks, just give us a shout through Anne or yourself and we'll mention.
I really appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Okay, Trish, you mind
Thank
yourself,
you.
Pet.
God bless.
You've gone through, God bless you. You've gone through an awful ordeal.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I've just noticed the GoFundMe page, as Trish Start, they just set it up today, was 300 quid. And by the time Trish Start stopped talking, it was up to 2,530. And it's GoFundMe, support for a local mother. Support for a local mother. Mary Wren, Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joan. Thank you so much for taking my call and giving me air time.
And thanks for making the call. Christina Gallagher, the so-called visionary.
Just to say, Joe, I have no animosity, no problem at all with Christina. So I don't believe that she's getting her messages from heaven. But I have to go back a little bit and just bear with me for a moment. So just to say that we all know that we have to leave this world forever. But most people, unfortunately, believe that almost everyone goes to heaven. And I actually did believe that myself as well until I started digging deep. And this teaching, though, is contrary to what Jesus Christ says about the faith, the sad faith of humanity. In Matthew 17:13, he declares that if you make it to heaven, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction.
Okay.
And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and all the road to life, and only few find it. Bear with me and I'll explain why I believe Christina couldn't possibly be getting a message from heaven.
Yeah, take your
Most
time.
People who think they are Catholic have actually embraced a modern false faith that is not consistent with what the Catholic Church has always taught throughout history. The apostasy from the Catholic faith was predicted in Scripture, and the Catholic Church has been almost completely destroyed over the last 50 years.
Okay. Now, Mary,
Our Lady appeared in La Salette, France on September the 19th, 1846. And our Blessed Virgin Mary predicted that Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. The church will be in eclipse. So, Christina Galler, I've been up to Eccle several times, many, many times for a long time. Mm. And Christina Galler promotes the new Mass and everything that goes with it. So, the new Mass is part of the new church. And just the general history is that after the resurrection, our Lord taught the apostles how to say the Mass. And fast forward, I mean,
just to help you, you contacted and said Christina Gallagher is a fake visionary. She doesn't get the message.
Yes, and I'm explaining, but you see, if I don't explain to you, Joe, you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. This is Catholic dogma. Pope St. Pius V issued a decree. It's a dogmatic decree called Copenum, and he said this present constitution can never be revoked. He's referring to the traditional.
And what do you think, Mary? What do you think of the whole push of the Lord says we will all go to heaven. We all deserve
to
go
to
heaven.
Absolutely. Okay. No. I just quoted you there. No. Jesus said,
"Enter the gate.
Enter through the narrow gate.
Okay.
For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction."
Well, Christina Gallagher says, "All the ills of the world, all the ills of the world, are visited us by God, by Jesus Christ, by God, because of the sins of the world." But that portrays a vindictive God.
No. You did touch on that now yesterday. Somebody mentioned briefly on suffering. Jesus suffered voluntarily. Jesus is God. He chose to suffer. Our Lady also accepted all the suffering that God sent her.
Okay, and why
conception, she was born free from sin. Original sin that causes us to suffer.
After following Christina Gallagher, why did you fall out with her, Mary? Why do you believe she's are the word of God or not?
Because I just explained to you, she promotes the new Mass and the new religion, and Pope St. Pius V said that the traditional Latin Mass is never to be revoked. And he said, if nevertheless anyone would dare attempt any action contrary to this order of ours,
and what do you think of the fact that
let him know that he is called the wrath of God and the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and that was July
and when
the 14th.
I read out, okay, Mary, when I read out a statement from the current Pope. Mary, you have to let me ask a question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You really have to. Take your time. The current Pope says getting the vaccination is an act of love.
No.
Christina Gallagher says don't get the vaccination.
Okay.
It'll kill you and it's the mark of the beast. Right. It's aligning yourself. So that's completely...
Our Lady appeared to the three visionaries in 1917.
This is Fatima, yeah.
Fatima, yes.
Yeah.
So she released the three secrets. The third secret was never released officially by the Vatican. So in 19... Pope Pius XII, it seems, was going to release the third secret. Our Lady asked Sister Lucy to release the third secret on the event of her death about 1960. So in 1958, Pope Pius XII died. So it looks very much like, and there's proof there to say that Cardinal Siri was elected Pope. And so he accepted, and he was threatened. So they decided...
And when you were visiting the House of Prayer in Achill, when you believed...
I didn't know any of this then, Joe.
Yeah, but how...
None of it.
Okay. But did you know that, for example, the bishop, and indeed, first of all, do you know that all the bishops got the vaccination and there's encouragement, but that the local bishop, Archbishop Neary, he said, in summary, the House of Prayer has no church approval and the work does not enjoy the confidence of the diocesan authorities. But from what you're saying, you don't accept that authority. Sure you don't.
Well, the thing is that Christina Gallagher and many other visionaries haven't got the approval. For example, the Divine Mercy was condemned by four popes. Their Medjugorje is another false apparition, and I believe Akisa is false.
And what about Knock?
Oh, Knock! Yeah, next Saturday is the feast of Our Lady Knock, and that was a silent apparition, and Our Lady Saint John the Apostle and Saint Joseph appeared, and that was one year's joke.
And is there anyone you don't follow, Christina Gallagher, now because you think she's a fake? But you don't follow men,
you follow God.
Oh, okay.
I follow God. So can I just
do
say,
you believe? No? Do you believe Christina Gallagher? I don't know how Jesus spoke in Aramaic. He never spoke English, but he's sending Christina Gallagher messages in, well, I suppose Mayo English, really.
But Christina Gallagher's messages are not in line with the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church. So she could not, she's promoting the new mass, she could not be a true visionary.
Okay. How did you manage during the pandemic?
Very well. I'm doing okay, thank God. I take vitamins, minerals, nutrients, and I look after my health. But Joe, can I go back to say, because people will need to know this, there are traditional Catholic brothers in Most Holy Family Monastery in New York, Most Holy Family Monastery, Brother Michael Diamond, Brother Peter Diamond, and there are others, and they're defending the Catholic faith, and they're exposing the false post Vatican to a counter church. So the priests who want to stay loyal to the traditional Latin mass.
I understand that. But you know that the House of Prayer is getting bigger and bigger. They're opening a new House of Prayer in New York at 31 Mount Ebo Road, North Brewster, NY10509. That's happening on Saturday the 28th of August, Saturday week, and that's been designated by our Blessed Lord as the day to reopen, and they're looking for money. Like, so there are quite a few places. Okay, Mary Wren, thanks indeed.
Sorry, can I ask you now, please, will you do me a favour? If there's any traditional Catholic priest ordained before 1968, would you please contact me?
Okay, Mary, yeah. Okay, Mary, thanks.
We're St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Ignatius, we all are.
There's many people listening, Mary, as you know, who have no such beliefs. They're entitled.
Satan would set up a false church.
They're entitled.
And all would be overtaken by false shepherds.
Okay, Mary. Kind regards to you.
God bless you, Joe. Thanks a million.
And your family.
You,
and thanks, Mary. That's Mary. About family. And as I say, the Pope, it's all over. The Pope has made a statement saying getting the vaccine is an act of love and encouraging people to get the vaccine. All the bishops in that statement, we've been told, the Catholic Church recognised the safe and effective vaccination as an essential aspect of prevention of disease, and the faithful encourage to support the vaccination programme, not for their own good, but for protection of for the common good of humanity. In response to that, I can advise you that Archbishop Michael Neary, along with all the bishops, has publicly supported government public health measures applying to church settings, including vaccination, since the outbreak of this. So we presume all the bishops in Ireland are vaccinated. It'd be worth finding out. out, if they all are. I hope they all are, because to become a bishop, there are exceptions, I know, but to become a bishop, you have to be of a certain duration in the church. There are exceptions, I know. Okay, well, I'll just back to another family. Let me get to this. Earlier in the week, I spoke to Elizabeth Oates. Do you remember? It was Tuesday. But today is Thursday, isn't it? Tuesday. And she was telling me that the next day, Wednesday, well, they were heading to the ferry, and she was going to meet her sister, who's in her 70s, still young, and Elizabeth's young as well. She's in her 60s. But they've never actually met. And up to quite recently, they never knew that they even existed. And it was only through the fact in COVID that Elizabeth was due to go to America for her 60th, couldn't go, obviously, and her family instead decided to spend the money on a DNA test. And that began, as you heard on Tuesday, an incredible detective story, which was due to come to a very big milestone last night in England. And I'm told they're there now to meet the sister she never knew. Elizabeth, how are you getting on?
Well, we arrived here yesterday, late yesterday evening, and made our way down to see to meet Daphne. And it was just great, absolutely great. Her daughter came to meet us as well, and she video recorded the whole reconnection. Or connection. And yeah, just really great.
And you met through DNA, basically. That's how you linked up.
Yes, through the DNA.
After
yeah.
Such.
Yeah.
Okay, so you arrived. Did you go to Daphne's house?
Yes, we're here in our back garden. Oh,
here in our
back.
How very good. You're now living there, are you, Elizabeth?
You've moved in.
You've moved in. Good woman. The wild oats from Roscommon have moved in.
So we've moved in.
So tell me when you first saw Daphne in the flesh.
Well, it was a bit emotional now, to be fair. But it was just, you know, it was just like walking in on family as if you'd only seen them a couple of weeks ago. It was just very natural, very, very natural.
And how would you describe Daphne?
As a lovely lady. Really nice, really nice, gentle woman, very nice.
Okay, so what did you talk about? I presume you talked about the man you have in common, your dad.
Yes, well, very, very briefly now, we're kind of more doing that today rather than last night, because last night was kind of a bit intense, you know, after meeting, because Daphne's brother was there as well, and his wife, and Daphne's partner Joe was also here. So it was a bit intense last night, just short conversations. But today now we've gone through the album and we're sitting relaxing and...
Great, and you're only there since last night, so if you include sleep, you're only there 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, that's all, yeah, but we have the whole all today, and now we're heading off.
Daphne, good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you, Daphne? You well?
I'm very well, thank you.
And
it's great to be here.
What was it like when you opened the hall door last night, Daphne?
Oh, it was fantastic. I ran outside to meet them. It was just fantastic meeting them.
And was there a bond immediately, Daphne?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, they're my relations. They're definitely my sisters and brothers, yeah.
And what did you know, Daphne? I know you're in your early 70s. What did you know about your dad, who's also Elizabeth's dad?
I never knew my dad at all. I always wanted to know him, and then we did the DNA and it's come back. Daphne, their dad was my dad.
Okay, incredible. And Daphne, when you asked about your dad as you were growing up, what answers were you being given?
I never asked about him at all. I never wanted to upset my mum, and I just never asked. I asked aunties and uncles, but none of them knew who it was.
Wow. Did you ever imagine who it was? Was it a wealthy prince or...
Well, you always hope it's going to be somebody lovely, don't you?
Yeah. And why would you not say it to your mum when she was alive?
When I was little, I was living with Nana and Grandad, and Mum only came home at weekends, and I just didn't want to upset her.
Okay.
That she wouldn't come home, and then as you get older, you just. Realise, and I just never asked.
Okay, so it was your instincts and your common sense. That kind of left.
Yeah,
left.
It was. You just didn't know how it happened, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that I just never asked.
And when did you discover that you were half Irish, in effect, Daphne?
Well, with the DNA came back and there was a lot of Irish in there.
And that's only recently?
Yeah. And when I've told people in the village that I'm half Irish, they all go, "We understand that."
Why? Why is that, Daphne? Your personality, is it?
Yeah, well, I work in the village pub and I can be a bit...
What is the village pub called? Has it got a nice, quaint name?
It's called The Boot.
The Boot?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
The Boot.
And you've now seen photographs of your dad for the first time ever.
Yeah. It was quite shocking, to see photographs and waited all these years to see that.
And he's quite a handsome man.
He is a very handsome man, and my brothers are.
Oh, exactly.
The two that here I can see.
And I'm sure, Daphne, your your own life story, Daphne. Did you marry? Have children?
Yes, I'm married, and I've got three children.
Okay.
And five grandchildren.
Oh,
now.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So you have a new father, so to speak. They have a new grandfather, and your great grandchildren have a new great grandfather.
Yes.
Now, Daphne, have you ever been to Ireland?
Yes, quite a few times.
And where did you go when you came to Ireland?
Well, my partner came from Durra, County Leash.
Oh yeah! Wow.
And then we'd go to Middleton quite a lot because we know on my mum's side, my cousins on my mum's side, they've got relations that live in Middleton,
okay.
So we went there.
And where was your mother from originally?
From Dullingham, yeah.
From where,
from
sorry?
A little village called Dullingham, near Newmarket.
So did you know you had some Irish connections on her side?
No, I didn't know any Irish, apart from my stepfather was Irish, but that's the nearest I got to know.
Oh, your stepfather was Irish as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and how long was he in your life before he passed?
I was almost 12 before he came into my life in any case, and then he passed away when he was 62, so he's been gone for quite a few years now.
Okay, and would you have regarded him as your dad?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're as a young woman, you were very, very together, very smart, very nuanced in terms of your instincts told you it would upset your mum. So you left it at that, and now the stars have aligned. And after 72 years in your case and 60 years in Elizabeth's case and their siblings and your siblings, you've met your half brothers and half sisters.
We'll go back. I'm only 71 though.
Okay, sorry, Daphne. That's me giving the boot.
That's you, corrected. Yeah.
Yes, I won't be served in the boot.
Yes.
Daphne, are you on all the years count, of course, but Daphne, are you hoping to come to Ireland to learn more about your dad, or you're simply more interested in learning more about the Elizabeth and her family, your half-sister that you've only met?
Well, the whole family, all of them. Now, instead of having one brother, I now have two sisters and five brothers.
Okay.
I want to learn about all of them,
Okay, and and why did you get why did you go for the DNA test?
Because I've always wanted, and my oldest son got so fed up. He said, "Mum, why don't you just do DNA and see if you can find it?" Because they've always known that I wanted to know who my dad was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you first saw that, and I know you don't get the full detail, and you have to do. And Elizabeth Oates and her side of the family had to do a lot of detective work. But when you first saw that there was a match in Ireland, what was your reaction?
Oh, very great, yeah. I love Ireland. When we've been over there, I've really enjoyed going to Ireland. So that was great.
Okay. Well, now you've met Elizabeth, how long are you staying with Daphne for?
We're here until tomorrow.
Till tomorrow, then you come back.
Yeah.
And are there plans then for Daphne and her family to come to Ireland?
Well, hopefully when we're all COVID-free. To travel.
And bizarrely, just to remind listeners, COVID had a role to play in this discovery because Elizabeth was originally hoping
to go to America.
To America for her birthday, and she couldn't go to America, so her daughter bought her a DNA test.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. So what are we doing today?
Well, we're lounging at the moment in the garden.
Yes,
and
as you do.
Looking at Daphne's pear trees and all her hedgehogs and all sorts of stuff.
And have
but
you
we're going to go to Newmarket and maybe look at stables.
Oh, horsey country. And Elizabeth, have you discovered you've any similar likes or dislikes or so far?
Not just yet, now. We probably haven't spent enough time together.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, enjoy the time together. It's a great new story coming out of COVID. And Elizabeth and Daphne, half-sisters, embraced for the first time last night. Congratulations and good health.
Thank you, Joe.
And long,
thank
long,
you. I just
long,
want to say,
yes, Elizabeth.
Want to say, Joe, before we leave, the best way to describe this, as my brother did earlier on, this is a gift. We're delighted.
Okay.
And getting Daphne, it's a gift to our family, and we're just more than happy and delighted to meet her.
Isn't that fantastic?
And the same here.
And the same from Daphne. Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Look after each other.
We will indeed.
Two sisters. Thanks indeed. Thanks indeed, Elizabeth and Daphne.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Ah, Michael O'Reilly. Michael, you stole the hearts of the nation yesterday. You and Suzanne. Susan, over your car. You got your car back.
Joe.
The Gardaí reckon it was too hot to handle after the programme.
Oh, yeah, we got an after your programme, Joe. I was on the radio yesterday.
Well done,
on the radio
well done. Okay. So where is Susan now?
She was up. I mean, someone was going by in a taxi. He drove a taxi. He was going by yesterday afternoon. And he's going by. He had a fare up to a step aside, you know?
Great.
And he had me going by. Then he go by Lamb Dials.
So they left it in the car park there.
He left it.
And
there was only one car in the car park in Lamb Dials. One car.
Well, at least they gave it back. Now, Michael, did the Gardaí take Susan away for questioning?
Yeah, I couldn't touch it. Not going near it. The guard told me not to go near it. So don't touch the car, Michael. We couldn't touch the car.
Okay.
And the guards came. They came about 5 minutes after the guards in there.
Well done. And were you thrilled when you heard the news?
Oh, they thrilled me to stop. You know, the way my eyes are for the last 4 days, my client for the last 4 days.
I know.
All my eyes now at the moment is all laughter, Joe.
Well
honestly,
done.
Dad.
You're a great man.
He's back.
Great
and
man.
Listen, no, thank you for your
okay,
show.
Okay, now. It's you. It's you that made the difference. Now,
no.
Michael.
Yes,
did you get your phone back?
No, the phone, I didn't take that. It was only cost, that's an old-fashioned phone, 25 euro that cost. But they took me back and all my details and took the bag, my pension card.
We get all down.
But then we replace them all on Monday.
Great,
Joe.
Well done.
Okay. All on Monday, Joe.
Okay, Michael, are you ready for this now? You don't have a phone because the phone is gone, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
It does matter. You will have a phone. Vodafone are going to give you a new phone. And they're going to give you a phone. They're going to have a chat with you and see what phone you would like and what would you be.
I know, I can't use the modern phone.
Exactly. Vodafone are going to give you a brand new phone that will be simple for you to use, okay?
Lovely.
So you're getting a new phone. Stop.
Yeah.
Apple Green Garages, you know Apple Green Garages, they're everywhere around the country. They're giving you petrol. Is it petrol or diesel, Susan?
Petrol.
Well, you're sucking diesel because they've given you 250 quid worth of a fuel voucher to get you going again with Susan.
No,
okay, now stay there. Larry Crockwell, who runs crystalvalet.ie, when Susan gets back and is settled back, they're going to take her from you. Okay, now knowing you, you'll go with her. They want to take her and they want to give her a full deluxe valet service and return her to you spick and span. Okay. So you're getting a valet. Alex, it's not over yet. Alex from Toyota on the Long Mile Road. When you get Susan back, they're going to take Susan off you, give it a full mechanical service and a once-over in case there was a bit of damage. They might have pressed
thanks.
It. They're going
thanks,
to, and then while they're giving Susan a once-over, a full medical, so to speak, they're going to, and they'll give, by the way, they're going to give you another service next year as well. They're going to keep in touch. Okay.
Thanks a million, Joe.
And when they're taking Susie and giving her the full medical, they're going to give you a replacement
car,
a replacement Yaris.
Joe, thanks a million.
And now it's not over yet.
Joe. Yeah, that'd be my heart is pumping at the moment, you know.
Okay.
Joe, we got texted on the phone yesterday. My daughter got texted on the phone from your show, from Canada, London, all over the world, they all protected. I hope that man finds the seals that is cardiac.
Well, do you?
You're known all over the world, Joe.
Well, you're known all over the world, Michael O'Reilly. But did you know that 9 hours after you were on the programme yesterday, Lifeline was still trending because of your conversation and Susan. Yeah. Now, it's not over yet. When we get Susan back up the road and even better than she was before those couriers were up there, yourself and your wife. What's your wife's name?
Rita, sorry.
I get mixed up. Is it Susan or Rita? Yourself, Susan and Rita, okay, are going to the Radisson Blue Hotel in Limerick City. Great city. Loads of things to do. You're going there for an overnight breakfast, dinner. It's a fantastic base if you want to drive Susan around to the cliffs of Moher or whatever. And that's the Radisson Blue Hotel. That's from Host PR, Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Limerick. Will I leave it at that, Michael? Will you be able for that?
Joe, that's a million. That's very kind, Joe. So.
Okay.
You're listening, the whole world. Thanks, man. Thanks all over the world. Your viewers, listening around, that's very pleased.
And this is what this is when we get Susie back off the guards when they do the forensics.
Yeah,
to
have her back 3 days, yeah.
This is what we're going to sing to her. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, Wake up, little Susie.
Wake up, little Susie.
Michael is here. Hug me. Hug me, Susie.
Thanks a million.
And this is Susie. Susie says, Michael, my daddy is here. I want my daddy. And she runs over and you jump on the bonnet and Susie, her wipers. And she said the tears will come out of her washer wipers and she'd be crying. Michael, I never thought I'd see you again. Oh, never.
Listen, I'm very kind, Joe. Thanks, your show is great.
You're brilliant. You're great.
And fantastic. Yeah. Listen, thanks for everything.
Okay.
Bye, Michael.
Mind yourself.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Now, aspects of the pandemic have thrown up some incredible stories. One we heard yesterday was Patrick Osborne, who contacted us, and he decided in the pandemic, in the lockdown, to try and do his family tree. And in his family tree, he discovered that his grandfather was originally thought to be one of the 15 Irish soldiers, who were killed in a premature explosion in the Glen of Amal 80 years ago in September, 80 years ago in a few weeks, because the military police had got mixed up with his name and a neighbour's name, both of whom were in the Irish Army. So this family, Patrick Osborne's family, grandmother, and she thought she was a widow at that stage, they were waking the father in their house in Sean McDermott Street. The body hadn't been returned and it was an explosion, so you can imagine. They thought their husband and father and brother, they thought he had been killed, and they're in the house obviously talking about him, and he walks in the door. He walks in the door in his army uniform, having been in Glen of Amal, but having survived the explosion. In fact, he wasn't even close to it. And the man who died, unfortunately, one of the 15, was from around the corner. So then Patrick started investigating this incredible, it's the greatest single tragedy to hit the Irish army since the Civil War, basically, isn't it? In one fell blow. I know now if we add up the our casualties of our heroes in the Lebanon and our heroes in the Congo, it becomes, and our heroes down in Tremor on the Dauphin helicopter, there is an awful death toll. So we just put it out there. What happened to soldiers? Well, Frank Callerly has contacted us. Frank, good afternoon. I mentioned that three soldiers were blinded, as many of them were savagely injured. And Frank, you have done some research on to find out what happened to those three soldiers who were blinded. Tell us the story, Frank, please.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Thanks.
I'm speaking to you from the Royal Spa Hotel over in the Stuvarna.
Oh, very good.
I was interested in, I was doing a chapter for a history I was writing on blindness in Irish society and the National Council for the Blind. And I came across Eddie Ward, who was one of the early guide dog users who had been supported by NCBI.
Okay.
And I started to delve into it, and then I found out about the explosion, how he acquired his blindness, and the two other chaps, Delaney and O'Mara.
Okay.
Or McNamara. And So I got on to St Dunstan's, and the records are confidential, obviously.
Okay, this was the blind school, so to speak, where soldiers blinded in the First World War were rehabilitated or trained or whatever. And these three Irish soldiers who were blinded in this Glen of Amal disaster in 1941, they were sent there.
They were. I was wondering how they were sent there, because obviously they weren't English soldiers, you know. And it turned out that Alice Stanley Armitage, who founded the National Council for the Blind, had long connections with St Dunstan's, as had Barbara Knox from Kilkenny, okay. And another lady, Rochford Wade, Molly Rochford Wade from Coolock Way. And okay. their families had connections with the British military. And so through their good offices, these lads were kind of smuggled in, if you like, to St Dunstan's under the guise of members of a Royal Artillery regiment.
Wow.
And they received their training and and went on from there to have good careers, you know. One became a physiotherapist. Two of them became switchboard operators, and one became a braille typist. And all skills learned through NCBI and through St Dunstan's.
Okay. And I've tweeted the front page of the Irish Press. Now, remember, this is in the middle of the Second World War. The emergency is known. It's Wednesday, September 17th. So it happened on Tuesday, 16th of September, 1941. 80 years ago, as I say, in a few weeks. Now, it doesn't even take up the full page, because half of the page is the German attack on Moscow, the French hostage shot. So it was all these horrific stories. But they did name the dead. If I could read them, it's a bit faint to print. Lieutenant M.J. McLaughlin from Grace Park, from Ross Trevor in County Down. Lieutenant Fennessy from Ballyferma Chapel Lizard. That's interesting, Ballyferma Chapel Lizard. Lieutenant G.P. O'Neill from Cork. Lieutenant Brereton, an unusual name. Three Adelaide Terrace in Summerhill in Cork. Sergeant Stokes from Sandymount in Dublin. Gunner J. Murphy from Harold's Cross in Dublin. Gunner J. MacDonald from Carra Road in Crumlin in Dublin. Corporal Heffernan from Kilbeggan in Westmead. Corporal Cleary from Ballinamuck, Dungarvan, Waterford. Corporal J. Taylor from Drumcondra, Ferguson Road in Drumcondra. His neighbour, Corporal Lee Kennedy from Jones's Road, around the corner there, Croke Park. Company Sergeant McMahon, Usher's Island in the centre of Dublin. Sergeant M. Scullion from Letterkenny in Donegal. Gunner J. Osborne from Summerhill in Dublin. That was the confusion yesterday. It was Osborne, but it was a different Osborne. And Private O'Hagan from Donnybrook here in Dublin. Now, do we know, Frank, is there anything planned for the 80th anniversary, which is a few weeks away?
I know
it's COVID times and all that carry on.
Yeah.
Is there a memorial anywhere to these men?
I don't know that, Joe. I think that there might be some memorial in the barracks at St. Brickenthall. I'm not sure. Because Eddie Ward actually worked back in St. Brickens as the switchboard operator there.
Okay, and where did they survive, and I know we're only aware now of the lives of the three survivors because they were blinded. Mm-hmm. Where did they work when they came back here?
St. Brickens Hospital, two of them worked in there. And okay. Sean McNamara went back to Liverpool. He married a woman who was connected with St. Dunstan's.
Okay.
Delaney, he went back for further training in England and became a braille typist.
Right.
Yeah. So at the time, Joe, here, there was no real opportunities for employment for blind people, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And there was the Richmond Institution in O'Connor Street, which closed in 1958, and you were either making baskets or mattresses or brushes there.
I remember that,
And
I wonder what happened to the survivors, because Sergeant Morgan, it was Bantry Road from Condor, Corporal Conway from Bandon and Cork, Captain Shannon from Ballantyre in Dublin, Gunnar Brannigan from Castle Blaney, Sergeant McNamara from Kildare, Sergeant Delaney from Ockram and Wicklow, Corporal Corcoran from Cork, Gunnar McAlorum from Killarney Street in Dublin, Gunnar Ward from Sandymount in Dublin, Corporal Hayes from Sean McDermott Street in Dublin, and Corporal McNamara from Newtown, New Inn, Caher in County. And then the other two people are Private Davern. There was still, at that stage, there was still 13 of them. Can you imagine the injuries? I don't want to even think about
men. It was a horrific accident and a tragedy that touched most parts of the country. Now, I mainly concerned myself with the three lads who were blinded, because that's what I was working on. And I know that Eddie Ward married Delaney's sister.
Okay.
And they had connections with Cabra. And beyond that, I didn't know much about them, because the three men were dead by the time I came on the scene.
Of course, yeah.
But other older blind men had known them from the, if you like, the community within Dublin, you know.
So there was
very well liked.
See, there was 27 officers in the party, and then there was 30 other men a distance away. That's the way they used to do the training, obviously. But I'm just thinking, it's 80 years ago. There is a possibility that there was 18, 19-year-olds there on the day. And there is a possibility, you know, Slim, that some of them might still be alive.
Yeah, there is. I've never sought to trace them, but, you know, if they are there, there should be something done in honour of them. But certainly to commemorate that horrific explosion, you know.
Yeah.
Or not the explosion, but the men who lost their lives.
Well, we know that if anyone does commemoration with enormous dignity and respect and organisational logistics, it's Óglaigh na hÉireann and our Defence Forces.
Yeah.
So if there is anything happening, even at a distance, on the 80th anniversary of this horrific tragedy, in the middle of the emergency, the men training to defend their country in our Defence Forces, if there is anything happening, we will let people know.
I thought what happened to the three blind men was very significant in terms of employment at the time, and it was down to the kindness and nearly the personal kindness of Alice Stanley Armitage that they got that opportunity to train.
She was obviously a remarkable woman, was she?
She was, yeah, she was. They had an estate down in Nowan in Tipperary.
Okay.
And her father actually had started the what's now the RNIB in England in 1866, and they worked in blind welfare all their lives and gave a huge part of their fortune to blind people in that regard, you know.
Okay. Well done, Frank. We'll do more on this tomorrow if we get it in. Those men deserve to be remembered, and the survivors.
They certainly do, Joe.
The survivors deserve to be spoken about. Okay, thanks indeed. Well done, Frank.
Thanks, Joe.
On your work. There's always somebody great out there doing great stuff. Okay, remember the GoFundMe page, support for a local woman. That's Finglas. And also Megan Nichols, who was on with us last week, that student, a very impressive student. She set up a GoFundMe page as well, Megan Nichols, and we'll bring you the updates on them tomorrow. Series producer Rebecca Meehan, research by Richie Byrne, sound is by Liam Mullen. Daniel Keating was the BCO. Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850-715-815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.